listeners, and welcome to the Downright Upright Show, the place to go to hear out loud and proud what Minnesotans are thinking. And I am your host, Philip Anthony. We're laughing because I did my little fan dance during the beginning.
Who doesn't love a good clack fan?
Yeah, isn't it cute? We definitely have to get these made into Downright Upright fans.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Merch. Gotta have merch.
All about the merch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all about the merch. Thank you all for joining us today on the Downright Upright Show. And are you guys feeling fantabulous today?
Always.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what fantabulous is, right? It's
fantastic.
And fabulous.
Put together.
Fantabulous.
It's twice as nice, yes. And it saves time and it's wonderful. Okay.
Except when you would describe it, then it elongates it, but we get it.
All about the efficiency.
Yes.
Oh, God, I'm already laughing. I can't get through the show already. Anyway, as you know, the first Saturday of every month, I will be joined by two amazing human beings, woo-hoo, who I call my co-hosts, but they make me look very, very intelligent. So I have to have them on at least once a month to talk about current events. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce and welcome back my co-host, Austin Ballhagen. She's going to wave and she's going to say hi.
Hello.
And Matt Amundson.
Hello.
He is one of my co-hosts as well. And we love them because they, again, make me sound smart.
You do that so well on your own.
You're the one that does the research. You put
you
in
do
the
all
time.
The stuff.
Oh, guys. I love... See how... Love them. Anyway, so anyway, what's new with you guys? Anything new?
Everybody turns to look to me. So I recently eloped, which I'm really excited about. I know we joked or talked last month, and you had asked if or had mentioned that I was married, and I had, you know, I'm not married, just engaged, and yeah.
Yeah, so, I know, because I was under the impression, both of us, I guess, were, that she was married. And so when I asked you, you said, no, everybody thinks that we're just, you know, engaged. Okay.
You live together for 13 years and people kind of assume you're married at that point. Yeah, well,
so it was the last show that inspired this elopement. Is that correct?
That's what I said to her.
You heard it here first, folks. We started it here.
Right? Tell the truth.
We've wanted to do it for a while and we just reached a point that, yeah, we needed to get it done.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, well, that's congratulations.
So thank you.
We're so happy for you.
And absolutely.
We wish you many, many years of happiness.
All the years.
Because you deserve it, honey.
You're
amazing. All right, so now let's get back to current events.
Okay.
I'm sure you know by now, the Republicans continue to attack childbearing people in the red states. Mm-hmm. In fact, Alabama is now in the news for that very reason. Doctors and patients were gripped by a mixture of shock and anxiety and fear as they weigh how to proceed in the wake of the ruling by the all-Republican Alabama Supreme Court that embryos are children, even the frozen ones, used by childbearing people who are anxiously looking to start a family. In fact, one of the judges on that court stated, quote, even this is a quote by the judge, by the way, before so you know, this is a judge, mm-hmm, who's supposed to be going by the law books, not by the Bible, but this is what he said. Even before birth, all human beings bear the image of God, and their lives cannot be destroyed without effacing his glory, unquote. How will this ruling destroy the hope of childbearing people in Alabama? And how dangerous is this ruling to the wall between church and state? Who wants to pick up the ball on that one? Don't all jump in at once here.
It's scary. It's a lot. It's a lot to unpack, so I don't really know how to start, to be totally honest.
It's crazy.
Yes.
I don't know if I don't know where we see the end of the fallout from it, right? Like, we've seen you have hospitals stopping IVF procedures. Now we're seeing people that want to move their embryos out of state to other locations can't do it. Companies won't do it because they don't want the liability. And Republicans really hard trying to backtrack and say, whoa, 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 no, I totally support IVF. despite a long legislative history that disagrees or disputes with that, we're wading into personhood arguments on the GOP side, and it is dangerous. You know, one in three couples in the United States has used some form of IVF. This has ramifications way beyond this one singular ruling. And I do want to say, you know, for the couples that were impacted that led to that ruling, I can understand where there would be frustration and loss and, you know, wanting to seek some form of compensation if your fertilized embryos were destroyed. There's clearly an issue with negligence and storage and things like that going on there, but they're not people. They don't have personhood rights. And this is just so dangerous for so many families.
So that's kind of where my head is at, too, is I think the issue itself aside, my concern is where does this lead? Where is this going to continue to evolve and impact other rulings in the future and how we view certain topics, regardless of whether or not we're looking at you know, life in human form. In this particular case, that could still have ramifications for how decisions are made moving forward in other courts as well. It's a pretty big deal that I think we just don't quite know where it's going to continue to evolve quite yet. And that's what really scares me as I'm starting to, I don't want to get too wrapped up in like the what ifs, but it's hard. It's difficult not to start to go down that path in my head and worry about how we can just be cautious, be extra cautious about how these types of decisions can really have greater ramifications and how they can impact individuals, families, companies, our nation.
Yeah.
I think something that's also been kind of just like swirling in my head a little bit around this is the idea of, you know, it is very politically driven, as you know, and you kind of made a reference to this too. There seems to be so many personal politics are involved in this decision making, and that's scary as well. That separation of church and state, the separation of, you know, politics and the court, like it's becoming so blurry where, you know, where we talk so much about the Supreme, you know, which party does the Supreme Court vote for, you know, who do they support? It's like, we shouldn't be so concerned about that. Actually, but I am concerned. Now I'm concerned because we're making decisions. Our presidents are making decisions of who is going to be in the courts based on their political viewpoints. And that's not something that we can just take so lightly and just say, well, yeah, that makes sense and that's great. Let's have a half and half, or let's try to make these imbalances and things like that. I think that's where we can't live so much in that gray area, or just understanding the complexity of decisions like this, because we rely so much on those implicit biases that individuals have, and we're allowing that to happen.
Yeah.
We're allowing these biases to just make these driving decisions for so many people.
My thing in this is that that judge invoking God and the Bible scares me.
Yes.
Because if you're a judge, you're supposed to be looking at law books, the CPLR or whatever book, legal book you're looking at. You have to do investigative work to look and see if that's constitutional or not. The Bible is not a book that we look at when we're making legal decisions, and that's frightening to me. Because the next thing they're going to say is, well, the Bible is against gay people, so you can't get married because of the Bible. Or you can't, you know, eat shrimp because of the, I mean, there are things in the Bible that you can't do. So we can't, but we're not supposed to be looking at the Bible. We're supposed to be looking at what the law is. Mm-hmm. So that's my fear.
Well, and
right,
and that's very valid. And IVF too. I mean, it's a equality issue in terms of fertility equality for queer couples as well. And you know, in most states, so 21 states require some form of fertility treatment to be covered by health insurers. Minnesota is not one of them, but there is a new law that's been proposed. It's sponsored by Senator Aaron May Quaid in the Senate and Representative Jeff Brand in the House that would require insurers in Minnesota to cover IVF and IUI treatments for couples, and including storage of embryos. And it's really comprehensive because it also would include equal coverage under that law for queer couples. And there are only three states in the nation that currently require that. And many lawsuits have cropped up in recent years from couples that, you know, a heterosexual cisgendered couple has no problem getting fertility treatment. They seek the same care and they're being denied by their insurance companies. So this, right, this ruling in Alabama also has ramifications in terms of fertility equality as well.
Yeah, well, stay tuned, folks, because this is about to get real. Because women already lost their rights women's health as far as abortion is concerned. Now this is going to be their health care for as far as abortion is concerned. Now this is going to be, I think, the straw, in my opinion, but stay tuned.
Yeah.
The next thing, now we're going to go into international affairs. Like my MPR. My
next
MPR.
Yes.
Ding.
You nailed it.
Yeah, we have a short show. It's only 50 minutes.
Yeah, let's
go.
Here we go.
So now in international news, Putin again murdered someone who didn't bow down to him. Yeah. So back in 2006, Alexander Livinenko was poisoned with polonium-210. In 2018, Sergei Skripal and his daughter were poisoned in the UK by the nerve agent Novichok.
What? I didn't know.
And last year in 2023, Yevgeny Prigozhin, is that how you pronounce his name? Prigozhin? Was killed when a bomb was planted in the plane he was flying in. And who knows how many more people were targeted by Vladimir Putin. By the regime and Vladimir Putin. So now in February, this past February 16, 2024, Alexei Navalny, Putin's chief rival, mysteriously died in a Russian gulag in Siberia. So this is just going on and on and on. This is what dictators do. Hint, hint, people, vote.
Yeah.
And while this is all going on, certain Republicans are continuing to support Putin by the orders of the twice impeached, 91 times indicted ex-president. And on top of that, Russia made its biggest gain in the Ukraine war since recapturing Bakhmut in May of 2023 as the war is set to enter its third year. The anniversary of the war just passed. Mm-hmm. And also in eastern Ukraine, the town of Avdiivka was overtaken by the Russians. So that also was because of the non-support by the United States that we can't get it together and send our aid to the Ukrainian people who need it. How dangerous would it be if Russia wins this war and Trump wins the election, thereby possibly destroying NATO? What do you guys think about that one? We have to talk about this. It's really dangerous. So. Any advice? Or
I mean, you hit the nail on the head with in terms of these are political assassinations that we know about.
Mm-hmm. That we know
there
about.
Are so many more that we don't know about. And you know, it's Donald Trump made a quote after South Carolina where he said, you know, in some countries, you know, leaders get to pick when they're elected. And if I had that power, I'd do it tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And that is just the shades of what is set to come if he is elected. We can see that in what is already happening in Russia. It is a horrifyingly tragic situation in Ukraine right now in terms of what these people are facing. I saw over the weekend, and I don't remember the exact number, but young Ukrainians, some millennial and Gen Z Ukrainians and children have been on average displaced like 3 or 4 times in the last year. I mean, this is a humanitarian crisis, what's happening. And we add to the fact that you have a year and a half ago, Republicans saying, we have to stand up, we have to help Ukraine. And now they've completely 180'd and they're going to hold this up over nonsensical border issues that they've created themselves by refusing to back, you know, the border deal that was a bipartisan border deal. It's really scary that they're willing to play political games with people's lives.
Yeah, and on top of that, Navalny died. It was put in a gulag, and Trump is comparing himself, saying Biden is Navalnying, using it as a verb, I guess, him. And no, that's not happening, guys.
He says that, and he's believed.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's the problem. Yes,
it is. So to your point, Austin, about, you know, I think we just need to put the message out there, please vote.
Yeah.
For the love of God, we need to vote. Because we're on the verge of a dictatorship. Very probably, should Trump become elected, when he says things like that, and he really can kind of just point and shoot right now. Remember many years ago, and this has proven to be true time and again, where you can just point to someone on the street I don't remember his exact quote, but he was like, you know, I can just choose someone on the street at any moment.
Shoot someone on Fifth Avenue.
Yep, and he's fine. And you know what? And it seems to be perpetually an issue. He can just say someone's name, and all of a sudden, the whole MAGA crowd just follows suit. Yeah. So when you have that amount of power, and then see how he talks about Vladimir Putin, how he talks about, you know, he has an understanding of his sense of power that he has, and yet he plays the victim. And then that creates this greater sense of love and an admiration for him, which is just alarming to me.
Yeah, I think he emulates a Putin. He wants to be like him, so he has all that control. But so that, again, stay tuned for that one.
It's very Shakespearean. I can't hear this and just be like, this sounds like Macbeth, but no, it's 2024.
He put a bomb on the guy's plane.
Yeah,
because during the war, remember there was a Prigozhin.
Which one? We've got a lot of them.
No, the Ukrainian war.
Yes.
Prigozhin was crossing into Russia. Remember that? And he got in contact somehow with Putin, and Putin says, if you don't come to the Kremlin and attack us, whatever. I'll give you a good position and you'll be fine, and da 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 da. And he listened to him, which is crazy. Who would do that? So I'm worried that if you know who becomes president, that's something similar to that could go on. I don't put it past him personally,
We're already seeing him exert that kind of control over the Republican Party, mm-hmm. both in terms of what is happening in the House and the ouster of McCarthy, to looking at the GOP party base. I mean, mm-hmm. Ronna McDaniel, resigning this morning, and she was Trump's handpicked successor. She didn't do what he wanted, and now she's thrown out.
It's against that source of power. He may not be in office anymore, but he still has enough voices and followers that are still these leaders and still making all these choices and decisions within House, Senate, among Washington and across the U.S. And that's going to create this just like this momentum for him.
Yeah.
That scares me about this November. But I don't want to also just be stuck in this sense of like fear and worry, but I can't not worry be fearful.
It's frightening.
Yeah.
But anyway, so when we get back from the next break, okay, I want to devote a little more time to the next issue. We're going to talk about what went on in Oklahoma with Nex Benedict, the non-binary elementary school youth who was who died after being bullied in school. And the cover-up is frightening to me. So we'll get back after this next break and talk about that, because it needs more time. This is Philip Anthony. I'm the host of the Downright Upright Show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota!
Woo! Minnesota!
Welcome back to the Downright Upright Show. I'm Philip Anthony. I'm here with my co-hosts today, Austin Ballhagen and Matt Amundson.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about something very serious. This is not something to joke about, and so we have to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is very upsetting to me, and I'm sure it's upsetting to my co-hosts and everybody out there. Let's go back to the United States again. Mm-hmm. And talk about another southern state, Oklahoma, and talk about the death of Nex Benedict, a non-binary high school student who was elementary school, I meant to say high school.
We follow you.
I fixed it up. Who was continuously bullied, and on the day before Nex died, Nex was beaten along with another transgender friend. We never heard about the transgender friend, but I'd like to know more about that. In the school bathroom by three older girls. According to the Owosso Police Department, Nex suffered head injuries after being knocked to the floor, injuring her head. Nex's grandmother witnessed that Nex had bruises on their face, and scratches on the back of their head. To add insult to injury, Nex's grandmother was informed that Nex would be suspended for 2 weeks as a result of the incident. Could you believe this?
Yeah.
The LGBTQ advocacy group, that's a tongue twister, Freedom Oklahoma labeled Nex's death a hate crime. In a statement by Freedom Oklahoma, they declared, quote, "We want to be clear whether Next died as a result of injuries sustained in the brutal hate-motivated attack at school or not. Next's death is a result of being the target of physical and emotional harm because of who Next was," unquote. In recent years, Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt has signed bills that required students to use bathrooms that match their sex assigned at birth, banned the use of non-binary gender markers on IDs, restricted gender-affirming care, and banned transgender girls from participating in girls' sports. Anti-LGBT violence has been on the rise in recent years, according to law enforcement researchers, coinciding with the growing anti-LGBT sentiment from red state politicians. Now I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to throw it out to my co-host. What are your thoughts about this horrific incident, and how can we prevent this from happening in the future? I guess there's no easy solution to this. This is a young person who died unnecessarily, and they're trying to say that it wasn't caused from the blunt trauma to Nex's head, which I don't believe that. How could a young kid that age die the very next day after that happened to them?
After that brutal beating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you have guys have anything to add to this or want to contribute?
Oh, yes.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I took the last two first. Go ahead.
I mean,
it's crazy.
First of all, this poor child and their family and their friends and everyone around, and not just to mention that the people that they are connected to and who are now dealing with and confronting this personal loss, but also just any LGBTQIA+ youth in the state of Oklahoma. I cannot imagine, or them and their families, their friends, how they might feel right now when they are lacking the support that they need just to be themselves, just to show up in the world and not have this fear. I feel so blessed as an openly gay man in Minnesota that I often don't feel a sense of fear for my life or for my situation. I mean, even just this past weekend, my special person and I, we went to Mall of America. We were walking around Mall of America holding hands, you know, and whatever.
Aww,
like,
that's so wonderful.
And I didn't really think anything of it, really, because I am blessed to be able to live this life where I'm not living in this sense of like fear or concern of how others are looking at me. And I know that that's also not the experience that many, I would say probably most LGBTQ folks live in this world. And when I hear a story like that, it's hard not to be so personally impacted thinking about, oh my God, what if that were someone that I knew? What if that were me? You know, like how can, regardless of the fact that whether or not you are part of this community, how can you not look at this and say being beaten to death for just being yourself, regardless of why, you know, the purpose behind it is just horrifying. And then to think that, yes, it is flat out just a hate crime. Like there's no argument there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
My other issue, and then I want to pass it to you, Austin. I want to bring this up, too, because I was reading about this, is there's an Oklahoma State senator. His name is Tom Woods. He's a 28-year-old Republican. He appeared in a panel, and he said I want to get the full quote. I just took a screenshot. I want to get the full quote of what he said because it's horrifying. He said, heart goes out regarding the teen's death before continuing, "We are a Republican state, supermajority in the House and Senate. I represent a constituency that doesn't want that filth in Oklahoma." That's how he described his non-binary child is filth. So regardless of saying my heart goes out, that's a complete undercutting of just not only that person, but an entire community of people and everyone that community is connected to. And to be a state leader, reading off those elements, Philip, when you're talking about the bathrooms and you're talking about, you know, state leadership, those sorts of things, we see all those things in place. It's no wonder that hate crime has gone up in recent years.
Yes. Why don't they get it? I guess they're comfortable with non-binary and LGBT people being murdered and killed. I mean, I guess it's okay.
That probably is true.
Children.
Yeah.
I mean, little children. I mean, high school, going to the bathroom is becoming dangerous. I had a guest on my show. I'm going to bring this up really quick because you guys, I don't know if you heard a couple of shows ago. I had a guest, Venus DeMars. She's a trans glam rocker.
Oh,
very famous. She's an incredible person, lovely person. Mm-hmm. Told me a story that when she would go to Southern States, I felt like I wanted to cry. It's really abhorrent that she would dehydrate herself so she did not have to go to public toilets. Oh my God.
Yeah.
When I heard that, this is America? Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Austin.
You both touched on it, and then Oklahoma, we don't have time to go into the full depth, but Oklahoma has created a culture of hostility towards queer youth. And it stems from high level at the state legislature down to school boards, down to appointments that they're making. Right, these are the same people that are sending their children to school that feel like it's okay to bully people, that feel like they have to discriminate openly against people and incite violence and take violent steps. It's not just the other students that beat Nex that contributed to their death. The school denied Nex medical care. They denied Nex the ability to leave and go home. They treated Nex as if they were the instigator in this incident. And then they died. I mean, this child was murdered. And I fully support HRC and other groups have called for a federal investigation into this death. While the coroner, and Philip, you brought this up, is trying to say that we don't believe head trauma contributed to this, there's still a full
autopsy.
That's BS. Yeah, there's absolutely no way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. How can you – you repeatedly beaten on the floor your head, mm-hmm. and then you're going to – and then they die the next day, and that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Are you – do you think we're stupid?
Give us some other theories then,
right.
Because I don't know what else to go off of.
Right.
Also, you know, to this point about this being a child who was beaten to death, it just strikes me as it's just one of those in many great ironies when it comes to politics, unfortunately, is, well, all lives matter, pro-life, human lives are important. Unless you're gender non-binary or you're part of the LGBTQIA+ community, if you don't fall in line with a particular – I know we talked about this, I think, at our last show, this idea of like what is deemed as normal or typical, your life, therefore, you are essentially – there's this perception that, well, now you're just like relinquishing your life. And unless you fall in line, you're out. And it doesn't matter if your life is here or not.
Yeah, and this is so upsetting to me. This really is because it could be any of us.
Absolutely.
Right here.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we lived there and we were young and we went to school and...
There's probably some child that went to school with Nex that was, you know, has probably realized that they are queer or non-binary or trans or not the same as their classmates, and that's fine. And they have now learned from this incident that their existence is not safe.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I just –
Good point. Very good point.
It's horrifying.
How do you not see suicide rates rising from that? Incredible amounts of trauma. Mm-hmm. I think about the life that I led before I came out when I was 19, right before I turned 20. The life I led before that was great. It was fine. But also I was still – struggling with my sexuality and trying to understand it and grapple with it.
Your authenticity was not, you didn't reach there yet.
Exactly. And had I not faced myself and faced those fears and really just like done that interpersonal work, you know, to really recognize that and face that myself and own it, I would not be the person I am today. I'm so thankful that I did that. How many people have we seen throughout history that clearly struggle with that trauma? Whether or not they have come out, there are other people that still deal with trauma. I'm not saying I'm like free and clear of trauma either. You know, because there still are fears that I hold. There are still concerns that I
yes.
have in the world. And when I see things like that, how does that not impact me as someone who's part of this community?
Yes. And you know something, and I don't, please, don't get it the wrong way. I don't want to compare myself to Nex.
No,
because
I don't mean to either.
I was, you know, the same thing kind of happened to me because as being a gay boy in a very ultra macho environment, I was... thrown to the floor, beaten. They stole my lunch money. They threw my books on the floor, called me every name in the book. Usually the F word that ends with, you know,
yeah,
the F word. Mm-hmm. I don't even like to say the word because it still gives me the chills. And the Q word, which I'm glad that we recaptured the word, that we use it now. But we use it to be positive, to deflate the word, so it's not as harmful to kids. And but what I'm trying to say is, as a child going to school, the last thing you should have to worry about is dying, mm-hmm. just because of who you are. And it's very sad. It makes me very sad. When I heard this story, I literally was in tears. It was so sad to hear. And I hope that we do marches around the country and in memory of her life, because of their life, because I think it's, I keep thinking of my a friend of mine who was a lesbian who was beaten, so I'm using her because she went through a terrible ordeal back in New York. Because she was very masculine, and the kids were merciless to her. So, yeah.
We need to do better. We need to do better as a society.
We need to do better.
Our politicians need to do better. Our school boards need to do better. Mm-hmm. Our leadership, healthcare. I mean, it covers it, this runs the gamut of every box. You know, who are the people who are in power? So those people in power need to recognize the individual impacts.
Well, and I'm so glad you brought up your own experience and the concept of doing better, because this goes into the cycle of violence, and we do better by holding people accountable. The people that contributed to Nex's death have to be held accountable, including the people responsible for beating them, including the school board, including the medical professionals there,
and administration,
because the same people that beat you, Philip, are the people that raised their kids that said this is fine.
The parents had a lot to do with it.
Making laws now that are contributing to this. I mean, it's a cycle that if we don't draw a line that this is not going to be okay, that you cannot murder queer children.
Period.
The next step is it expands, which is horrifying.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that the LGBTQ community gets together and we do like we did with the young gay man that was put up on the fence,
Matthew Shepard.
Thank you.
And it's sad that we stammer on it, because there's so many names that have come between Matthew Shepard and Nex.
Well, the lesbian friend that I knew, it made the paper in New York at the time. Yeah. All she was doing was walking hand in hand the street. She got heckled. And being the person she was like, mind your business. Yeah. I'm going to say it nice.
With an expletive in there somewhere, I'm sure.
Somewhere. can't say it. And she was just defending herself.
Yeah.
And she got beaten so bad. It was bruises.
The worst part is she shouldn't have had to defend herself in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah.
But see, when I was growing up, though, Matt, if you were called that word, or somebody made it, you would put your head down, cower, and walk away, because that's what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And if you were lucky, you got away with that, because otherwise they would hurt you. But and that's what I did.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fighter, kid. I wasn't. I was a very pacifistic child. I didn't believe in hitting back and calling names, and that was to me ridiculous, And so, what do they want us to do? Just sit back and take it, And
they want us to not exist.
Yes, yeah, I agree. Yeah. Anyway,
but we do.
We do.
So
we do, and we're not going anywhere.
Right.
The word closet has a lot. I remember growing up, that word meant that you had to stay. You know how closets are, you close the door and you don't see anything. You're in there and you're suffocating. It's dark. It's bleak. Mm-hmm. That's what a closet is.
Yeah.
No way am I going in the closet,
but
guys.
But boy, do you get a wide variety of fashion in there. So that's a bonus.
And you know what? There's more of us born every day. And some of those fertilized embryos that they want personhood for are definitely some of us.
Yes.
So.
And those embryos.
We are welcoming of them.
Yeah.
Yep. Every one of
good
them.
Point. And the embryos, the frozen embryos, are more, their lives, quote unquote, are more valuable than an LGBTQ high schooler.
Right.
That's where we've gotten in this country in certain states. Thank you, Minnesota. Thank you, Minnesota. Thank you. I can just keep saying thank you, Minnesota, that we live in a state that recognizes us as just people.
Yep.
And and I'm going to divert a little bit to one more thing before we take a break, because this is upsetting me. That subject was, the South Carolina primary, Nikki Haley only got 39%. Trump got the rest. I'm looking at it in a positive way, thinking that, you know, 39% of the people are never Trumpers, maybe, hopefully. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, I hope Biden gets them in that case or whomever takes the Democratic
Even
nomination.
If they stay home, it's better than voting for Trump.
Stay home or don't vote for Trump, please. Please continue to not vote for Trump.
Right.
She said she's staying in through Super Tuesday for right now. She just bought a big, six or seven figure ad buy. Know what? The more money that Donald Trump has to spend fighting Nikki Haley in a primary and through this caucus process, great. Fantastic.
I have a message for Nikki Haley. Girl, you stay in, girl. Stay. I'm staying. Remember that song by Dream Girls? I'm staying and you're going to love me.
I haven't seen that show or the movie.
Oh, you must. Okay, so now we have only 5 minutes, but we're going to go into the second segment.
Are we going to watch the Dream Girls trailer?
I'm your dream girl. Yeah, I love that show.
I'm going to watch it.
Oh, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
I saw the one with Beyonce.
Yes.
And Jennifer Hudson.
It's been on my movie watch list for years. I don't know what's got me back from it.
Great movie.
I'm not
always in a musical mood.
It was based on the Supremes.
That's fair.
I do love Beyonce. Yeah, right. And I love the Supremes.
All right. So now we've got some time. We're going to go into the second segment as well. I want to address the issues that my co-hosts want to bring up because they have, a fire in the belly about certain things as well. It's not just about me, you know. So we're going to start with who wants to start? Austin, do you want to bring up your subject?
Definitely can.
Yeah.
Sure.
Jump in.
Yeah. So my kind of, I guess, niche here is on Minnesota issues. I know we briefly touched on the IVF new legislation that's been introduced, which is fantastic. And shout
Absolutely.
Out to Aaron May Quaid and Jeff Brand for bringing that issue up. And hopefully that will pass. On a darker note, I guess kind of the big news story that's dominated Minnesota this last week and a half now, has been the horribly tragic shooting in Burnsville. Situation with, two officers that were killed, a first responder that was killed, and a third officer that was injured. Obviously, this is still under investigation by the BCA. We know some details. There were seven children in that home during that incident.
I know. I heard that. Yeah.
And the gentleman that was responsible, fired, I think they said, over 100 rounds at law enforcement.
Let me guess. Did he have an AR-15?
Not specified what type of weapons. They just said that it was multiple type, that he had multiple.
So he had a semi-automatic gun of some sort. Yeah.
I don't know.
Because if you're shooting that many bullets, though, Austin, you must have some.
I mean, I would presume, but I don't want to. I don't want to speculate.
Yeah, right. No speculation. You're right. Yeah.
But yeah, it's really tragic, and both in the terms of this ended with that gentleman dying by a self-inflicted gunshot wound, which is horrible. The lives of the first responders and the officers that were lost is equally awful. But the children that were traumatized by this too, and the families,
seven children. Yeah, terrible. Anyway. I'm going to take an early break here because we have a lot more to talk about. My co-hosts have numerous subjects they would like to talk about. So we'll be back after these messages. I am Philip Anthony, and this is the Downright Upright Show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of what?
Minnesota!
Woo!
You should say Minnesota.
Come on, people now. Smile on your brother, everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
Yes, love one another. Welcome back to the Downright Upright Show. I'm Philip Anthony. I'm your host. I'm back with my two co-hosts. We are going to continue talking about issues that are pertinent to our lives, especially here in Minnesota, because Austin, that's your bailiwick. So
that is.
Do you want to piggyback on what you said before about that shooting, or do you want to move on to something else?
We had just wrapped up we're discussing the shooting in Burnsville, which has obviously dominated the news and is a horribly tragic situation all around. And I know that, Matt, you had mentioned just the collective trauma, the family trauma, the trauma for the children, the neighbors.
The shooter was killed, right?
He died by a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Oh, he killed himself?
Yeah.
Okay. And the children are okay. There's no, you know, as far as physically okay, there was no...
The emotional trauma will last forever.
Yeah.
That's, I think, one of the hardest things from this story.
Absolutely.
Is like seven children. Mm-hmm. You know, and that makes you think of, you know, when we see firearms in any sort of situation, and, you know, we see it in schools, in malls, in movie theaters, we see it in public places, you know, at parades. It's just absolutely horrifying to see these issues of firearms continuing to show up in public places. That's not what their intended use is for, right? Is to cause terrorism. And yet here we are. How are those seven children going to be impacted for the rest of their lives and the people that they interact with, the people that they are going to come in contact with? You know, I hope that our state can do things to support those children and support their families.
Yes.
To allow them to
absolutely
learn and grow and not contribute to you know, the trauma that was really inflicted upon them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the law enforcement families as well.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Our condolences to their families, and also
yeah,
there was
losses. Yeah,
a paramedic that also was
a first responder that was also killed. And this happened in a residential area. This gentleman fired, they said, over 100 rounds. I mean, if that happened in your home, in your street that you live on, that would be a terrifying thing for anyone.
Yes,
absolutely. Well, like I said, keep them in your thoughts, your mm-hmm. prayers, however you remember people. And
let's vote. Be mindful of firearms.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Why are we using them?
Yeah.
Use your voices.
The number one reason children die in this country, do you know what it is?
Don't tell me it's firearms.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You got it. You won $10,000.
I don't want to win $10,000 through that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway.
I'll take it, but
yeah,
I didn't want
to. Well, yeah, I need it too. Anyway, so we're going to move a little bit now over to DEI expert Mr. Amundson.
So we're going to flip a little bit. I mentioned earlier I brought up implicit bias, and I was like, okay, I wonder if we went that direction a little bit. Talk a little bit more direction about what implicit bias is.
Yeah, explain to the listeners what that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I think we all are aware of, but I kind of want to just like dive into the definition of it, maybe think a little bit about how implicit bias really impacts us. I noticed that, especially having done DEI work for quite a few years now, I just noticed it in myself. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you're living, breathing, if you are listening to this right now, even if you're not listening to this right now, I'm sorry, but there are implicit biases that are impacting you, period.
Everyone,
we have implicit biases, despite the fact that I do this work, you know, in DEI and you know, and I talk directly about implicit bias and talk about mitigating implicit biases, I'm not averse to it, you know, and its effects, right? So I just want to put that out there. We all have them. Mm-hmm. It's creating that awareness that's going to help us to start to mitigate them and try to just become aware of how we can not allow those biases to impact us, the relationships we have with other people, with the world around us. So I just want to share something. So I just have a question for the two of you. When I say the word Minnesotan, what comes to mind?
A person from Minnesota.
Okay.
Right?
Yep. What other associations come up? What are the first things you think about?
Nice people, polite.
Nice, polite.
Culture,
okay.
On the negative side, maybe some people have told me this, but I don't feel that way, that they're not direct.
Yes,
passive. They're passive-aggressive. Yeah. What else? I don't know.
Music.
Okay. Are there any,
Prince.
Say, any particular types?
I just Minneapolis sound. I mean, there's been a whole, you know, Minneapolis does have a cultural history of strong music.
Janet Jackson's studio, I heard, was in Minneapolis.
Yeah, she was recorded here. Yeah.
Expanding
into great, you know, wonderful. It's not just Prince, right? Bob Dylan. There's a lot of great music that's
Tramped
come
by
from
Turtles.
Minnesota.
Semisonic, yeah. So,
Soul Asylum.
So, think about these are the first things that are coming to mind, right? If we had spent 5 minutes, if we had spent an hour. Think about the list you could have created of all the things that all these associations. But these first associations that you made, these are where biases can start to play a role in our heads. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, definition of implicit bias: they are favorable and unfavorable attitudes and stereotypes that affect our understanding, actions, and decisions in an unconscious manner. These biases are activated involuntarily and without our awareness. So there's a lot to unpack with that definition. First,
you
know, I said it's favorable and unfavorable.
So what would you say would be a, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. What would you say would be an implicit bias as far as the LGBTQ community
is
concerned?
Well, think about whether or not I am part of the community. I am part of the community, right? So a lot of my biases are
We all are here.
So think about our biases are a lot more favorable. Think about the news that we're talking about here in this show. Think about how we are talking about the news, how we're talking about people. The biases that are showing up, I mean, yes, we are pro-LGBTQ, but that's also a bias that is going to inform how we show up. You know, we believe, well, this is right and this is true. People who are against the LGBTQ community, they also believe this is right and this is true for the opposite. Right. And so that is where a lot of our conflicts can come into play, is because, well, these are my morals and my moral values, but these are my morals and these are my moral values, and who's right or wrong?
Yeah, but to say the grooming thing is the thing I think that
that's a negative bias.
Is a negative bias, and it's not happening.
That's just factually not happening.
I'm gay.
Yes.
I went to Catholic school. Everybody told me I was, if you were gay, you were a deviant.
Right.
I was in the closet so many years I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And so if anybody should be straight, it should be moi.
Sure.
So don't tell me that your children are being groomed, because that infuriates me.
Yes.
To no end.
Yeah.
Right?
And think in moments like that, Philip, if someone were to say that to you, even if they were to say it more casually, not necessarily calling you out on it or saying anything bad, but maybe just say, groomer, think about how you might react to that. There, like, you just had a visceral physical
anger.
You know, there was anger that came with
a lot of anger.
Right?
Yes.
I don't necessarily, I don't like that, but I don't feel the same way you do when I hear that particular word.
About groomer?
Yeah, so think
that bothers me.
These stereotypes, these biases can be very individualized, right? Mm-hmm. They can be very individual, and it's because of that that kind of can sometimes create some of that, the barriers between us, because I'm so stuck in what's in my head and what I'm thinking and believing that it's difficult for me to listen to you or another side or just see another perspective. And until I take that time to really think about that or recognize, maybe that's actually holding me back from getting a broader perspective, or maybe there's multifaceted viewpoint here, or maybe I can just sit and listen rather than just react and talk, that can help us to start to chill and maybe just show up better for other people around us.
Well, thank you for that.
Absolutely.
He couldn't have said it better about DEI. I mean,
absolutely.
But so I'm going to uplift now.
Yes, please do.
Yes.
We have to end the show on a high note, because it's been very bleak to me. I mean, especially the next story, I still can't get it out of my head. And it's,
as Austin said, that we're going to get to the upright portion of the show.
This is the upright. The downright. We did the downright. Now we do the upright.
It's all about balance.
I always try to end on a high note. So here it goes. Greece, the country of Greece, not the movie, the country of Greece, legalized same-sex marriage.
Woo-hoo!
And will now allow adoptions for gay couples and LGBT people. Yay, Greece.
Go Greece. Yes.
Love me some Greece. So Greece is now the 36th country in the world to recognize marriage for the same-sex couples, and it is the first majority Orthodox Christian nation to approve same-sex marriage. Penny, for your thoughts, anybody have anything you want to contribute? Isn't that amazing, though?
I do have one quick thought. Does AM950 have the budget to send us out to Greece to do a live show from there,
maybe?
We could
do some man-on-the-street interviews.
Patrick? Well, let's ask Patrick. Patrick, can you get us to Greece so we could celebrate?
I can't personally pay for that. Ask Chad.
Yes.
No, Patrick, you're coming with us, so you're going to
be part
of the
fight. You've got to come, Patrick. Yeah, absolutely. It wouldn't be fun without Patrick around.
Right? Doesn't have to ask.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, though?
This is so exciting, and I remember when marriage equality happened here in the States, right? That thrill, that just it just hit, and I'm sure there are so many people right now in Greece feeling that and experiencing that, and just kudos to you, Greece, and kudos to everybody celebrating.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's a beautiful way to end the show.
It is.
I mean, you know, marriage is love, man. Mm-hmm. You're getting married because you love the person, and it doesn't matter who you are. And so if you're gay, you are straight, you're bi, whatever you are, you should have the right to marry the person you want to marry.
It's an acknowledgement of love and connectivity.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Acknowledgement from the state, you know, or from the country. Like, that's a beautiful thing.
Everybody get together, try to love one another
right now.
There we go. That's why that song is so powerful to me. Anyway, I unfortunately, I wish I had a 2-hour show here, but I don't. I just want to thank you. We have a minute left. Is there any last goodbyes or things you want to talk about? Congratulations
thank
to
you.
Austin. Yay.
Speaking of marriage.
Yes.
Speaking of marriage, she got to marry the person she wanted.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What a strange concept.
Right?
Go figure.
Go figure. Yeah. Well, anyway. First of all, I'd like to recognize my co-hosts, Austin Ballhagen and Matt Amundson, for their amazing contributions to the Downright Upright Show. You make me sound so great, you guys. You really are amazing. I love having you every month to talk about current events and Minnesota politics and DEI.
Here, here.
Thanks for having us.
And lastly, to my audience, for supporting the Downright Upright Show via radio, a podcast. You mean everything to me. And we love you, and we're going to throw kisses to you as we say goodbye and ciao for now. Mwah. Love you.